Welcome to the Anxiety Proof Her podcast, where amazing women come for education, inspiration, and hope around healing from anxiety. Each month, you're going to hear from other women who took control of their mental health by using outside-the-box holistic strategies to cope with their anxiety and to ultimately thrive. You will also learn from experts in the health and wellness industry about the tools they use every day to help their patients reclaim their well-being. We hope this information allows you to see that there are many different paths to healing. I'm your host, Jennifer Bronsnick, and I'm a licensed clinical social worker and anxiety treatment professional. I help women and teen girls who struggle with anxiety, self-doubt, and perfectionism to tap into their innate resilience, get to the root of their fears, and implement custom healing strategies so that they can experience peace of mind, more self-confidence, and be liberated from the suffering that living with anxiety causes. I have lived with anxiety my whole life and know how hard it can be. I also know that there is hope, and it's 100% treatable with the right information and support. Thank you so much for showing up for yourself and taking the first step to reclaiming your well-being and resilience. So I am so excited for our guest today because Nora has been a friend and a colleague for a little while now. And so let me introduce you to this amazing woman. Nora Herboy Callanan is the legacy designer. And she is a New York and Massachusetts licensed attorney, and she specializes in helping busy female professionals and their families to navigate and understand the legal nuances of protecting and planning for family wealth. Her ultimate goal is for each of her clients is to feel empowered through education. And this is what I love the most, is that she wants to provide her clients with peace of mind and knowing that their families and their business will be protected and taken care of if tragedy happens to strike. And I think that, you know, this is a podcast about anxiety. So this is not like your typical, we're not talking about treatments or meditation. Like, this is like real deal important stuff that if you're a grown up, you know, you should have. So sort of the person that we're talking to is maybe the mom or the woman with aging parents or the woman that has animals that she needs to make sure are taken care of. You know, we all need to have a plan, really, if something happens. And not only if we die, but what if we get sick and we're in the hospital and we're not able to do those things that we've been doing. So Nora is going to help. She's going to educate us. So what did I miss in your intro? What should we know about you? Why are you doing this law?
Oh, so I graduated from law school actually over 20 years ago. And right out of law school, I began working with families in the capacity as a financial counselor, financial and legal counselor for a service called Survivor Support. And what that means is that I would actually go and meet with families after they had lost a loved one or a family member to help them sort through the legal and financial obligations and any place that they had questions. Because what we know is that 60 to 70% of people in the US don't do any planning. And there are attorneys out there and there are companies out there that take advantage of the majority who don't do planning, which is a good majority of us, and that they know that there is a lot of questions and a lot of guidance needed on the back end. So I actually came in and I would meet with families. I would meet with grieving families, and I would say I met with close to probably over 1,000 families. And I will tell you about 90% of those families that I met with did not have any legal planning in place. And if they did have legal planning in place, the legal plans often failed. They didn't accomplish what the family wanted. And then occasionally I would have the, maybe the 1% who had done legal planning. And I think that, that's where my career started. And it was you know, as a young attorney, I can tell you that is a rude awakening to legal life. You know, in a young female attorney in her 20s, being brought into a situation which can essentially be a pressure cooker that is fraught with grief and anxiety and just uncertainty as to what the future holds. So that is where my base of education, experience, and knowledge came from. And it was a, it was actually an area that I chose to leave because it was so high stress. And it was devastating. The stories that I could tell are there, you know, in some ways you become, when you start dealing with this on a day-to-day basis, you become numb. Mm-hmm. To it. And it came to the point that I didn't want to become numb to dying.
Yeah.
Or insensitive to people who were losing loved ones, because that's not the way to live life. And I was young and I wanted to be married and have a family of my own. Mm-hmm. And so I stepped away from the career for a period of years. To raise my family, to have a, you know, create a family and raise my family and to do some creative endeavors. And then in 2016, my dad passed away. Well, yeah, he passed away in 2016, but he was diagnosed with cancer beginning in 2014. And, you know, what I, you know, the unfortunate news that I have to tell everybody, and it's not news, is that, you know, death and illness are inevitable. We cannot escape it. So that young woman I started out with in my 20s, where I said, I don't need to be around this and constantly reminded of this on a day-to-day basis, it caught up with me in my 40s. And it actually kind of reignited a fire in me, or a passion, a mission, I'll say, to revisit what I believe is one of my most valuable assets, and that is my New York State and Massachusetts license as an attorney, and my legal education and background. And so in facing the inevitable with my dad and taking inventory of my own assets, I came to find that my education and experience was one of the most valuable assets that I had in helping me live my best life. And I think that, you know, that is the essence of why I work with people, because of the confusion, the lack of understanding, and the lack of education surrounding this area of legal planning. And feeling really passionate, even as a woman, and having been in this career as a female, understanding that most females, especially, are often undereducated with regard to this aspect of financial well-being, we'll call it, but they're overlooked as well. They're spoken over, and because of that, there tends to be a shutdown. And I did see that happen with my mom, and all of the things that I was taught to teach people to avoid as a dutiful daughter and not as a lawyer. My role was as a daughter. I wasn't able to protect my family to avoid the pitfalls that I knew how to avoid from a legal aspect. So that is where my mission and the heart and passion behind my business comes from.
I love that. I love that you care. You know, that really just comes through so much that, you know, you were able to see what people go through when they're not prepared. And I agree, as women, and I think men too, like, we don't want to think about our death, you know, it's a little morbid, you know, but like, it's going to happen. Like, we don't know when, you know, that is like one of the biggest of life's uncertainties. And, you know, so part of us, you know, we move into denial because we don't want to, like, obviously we can't think about that on an everyday basis. That would not be healthy.
Absolutely. Right.
However, you know, maybe once a quarter we think about.
Right. Or maybe even once a year we'll think
about it. Okay. All right. Stretch it. I like that.
Once a year, because I think the goal is, you know, my goal is to empower my clients to live their best lives by taking care of what they can control now, so that they can release that and focus, really focus on living, really focus on the people that they want to become, mm-hmm. the partners that they want to be the parent. And sometimes in going through this information with them, they start to identify even more deeply, you know, where maybe some of those gaps are and where they can find personal improvement. Because yeah. they start to realize, if I'm gone, who would fill my void and who would fill my shoes? And the answer is nobody. You can never be replaced. So in that, you are able to tap into, you know, really what kind of partner do you want to be? What kind of business person? What kind of parent do you want to be? Because unfortunately, someday you meet that your privilege of being a parent could be taken away due to incapacity or death. And the only thing, you know, your family is losing you. And that's what they'll be most upset about, is the mm-hmm. human, the human loss, as opposed to the financial. And then on top of the grieving, they're faced with a lot of stress and anxiety because they have yeah. questions, and they know that they now have to pay to get answers.
Yeah. Where it seems like there are things that we can each do so that we can avoid that added suffering, really, ultimately for our family. So what do we need? You know, let's take a mom. All right. So we'll just look at a mom, and, you know, married, not married, you know, what are the documents that her family need? Because I'm imagining if you don't say who your kids are going to, I'm imagining they go to the state, you know, if there's not a partner.
Well, it becomes a little more complicated. And so what I like to do is I like to break it down a little bit in terms of, let's everybody put their oxygen mask on first. And I like to educate my clients in terms of, let's really start to think about all of our assets. And so the first asset that we have, and that we're lucky to have if we're having this discussion, is we have a body. All right. Our bodies are, you know, that is like the biggest asset of all, right? So we have a body. And so what I tell people first and foremost, put your oxygen mask on first and protect your body. And I do that by designing plans called advanced medical directives and HIPAA releases. And what that allows an individual to do is to say how you want to be cared for in the event of an emergency. If you're diagnosed as being terminally ill, what kind of care do you want? Who do you want making decisions on your behalf? Okay, and sharing that information with them. But maybe also in your HIPAA release, naming who you would like your medical information shared with, so that the person who is named as your, what we'll call medical power of attorney, or your medical agent, maybe has some additional support and insight from the people who mattered most to you. Okay. So for example, if you're a mom, and let's just say you're single, something happens to you. First and foremost, we're going to be really, as a mom, you're concerned about your kids, but from a medical perspective, we're concerned about you as the individual. And without a medical directive, without documents, medical teams are left with questions about who to contact and what kind of care you would want. So you want to think about, in terms of, if I'm not able to speak for myself, who would be my voice, right? And I think sometimes we don't even get around to getting that advanced medical directive in place. But if you couldn't speak, who would be your voice? And so that's the question that I ask my clients to consider. And so that's the first document I would say a mom would need, because I think as moms, we all need to put on our oxygen masks first. Okay?
Right. Where do these go? Like, I'm just thinking, like, ours is like at the lawyer's office. Okay. Like, literally, I'd have to like call the lawyer.
So I do things a little bit differently. And so you should have the originals to your advanced mm-hmm. medical directives, and your attorney should have copies. Mm-hmm. Now, in this day and age of COVID, scanned copies are acceptable in a medical setting. So you should know that. But what I actually do with my clients, I actually use a service called DocuBank, and your advanced medical directives and your HIPAA releases get scanned, get sent to DocuBank. If you're in an emergency situation and you end up in the hospital, your medical team, you get a little card that says you're a DocuBank, a member of DocuBank. It goes right behind your ID. First responders know to look behind an ID for this type of information. They give it to the medical team that is treating you, and the medical team can actually pull up your advanced medical directive online. 93% of hospitals use this as a service, but not every attorney knows about it. Not every attorney uses it, but I think it is a very, very valuable tool. Yeah, you can also do your own little ID card behind it. You can make your own or use a template just saying, I have this advanced medical directive in case of emergency, call this person.
Right.
Okay. But I think that is an added benefit. I like the DocuBank because all of your medical information, allergies, all the people you've listed get automatically pulled up for your medical team.
Cool. That's great. Thank you. Didn't know that.
So, and then for kids, what happens? So let's talk a little bit about kids, because I think as moms, we don't put our oxygen masks on first, and we want to know what about the kids. So here's what you should know. If you don't name guardian for your kids, it's not that your kids will end up, and they may or may not end up in protective custody for a period of time. Most states today are trying to, they try as hard as they can to avoid it. They don't want to put kids through that stress. But this is what I tell people. If you don't name a guardian, somebody you don't know who's never met you will look on paper and they'll be presented with possible guardians, and you may or may, you've now lost your opportunity to have your voice over who will take care of your kids. So, and that person is a judge. So a judge is going to take a look at everything. A family court judge will look at it, and they'll make a decision based on finances, based on interviews, communications about who would has to be suited to take care of your child for a long-term basis. And so that's why I talk to parents about, you do want to name guardians. The chance that, you know, I have sometimes parents come to me and their kids are 16, 17 years old, and they'll say, we have never named guardians. And I'm, well, you've made it this far. So you can see that most families, they do make it really far. But I think that it's not how long can I make it without naming a guardian? It is what kind of peace of mind are you going to gain by naming guardian? And then there's a little gap in there between naming long-term guardian and kind of tied in with that advanced medical directive. If you were to get into an accident and not be able to make it home to your kids, what would happen with your kids? Would your babysitter know who to call? If 911 called, what would happen? Now, speaking with local law enforcement, most of the time, I know local law enforcement in my area would try to place my kids with a neighbor or a family member. They do not want to put the kids into protective custody. But what it does is it causes this awkward delay where the responsibility now falls on first responders to find a temporary placement for your kids. Again, people who are doing their job, they're doing the best that they can, but they don't know you. They don't know your kids. They don't know your neighbors. So it's so much easier to actually name both short-term and long-term guardians. And short-term guardians can be a neighbor. It can be, you know, your best friend in town. It doesn't have to be a family member, but it can be a family member. And I like to tell parents, typically family members are the only ones who are allowed to take your kids on a short-term basis without, you know, they really try to put it with family first. But those are two documents, the long-term and short-term guardian program, and we call it a kids protection program. We put those in place for parents as well. You know, I always kind of say, like, if you have nothing, do one or the other, advanced medical directive and kids protection, one or the other or both. I think that is a great place to start and to break it down.
Yeah. So do you have to get the person that you're naming guardian, like their approval? Like, do you have to like have, do they have to sign off on it? Or you can just say like, oh, I like these people. Let me,
you could. Technically you could. I would recommend that you let that, and sometimes that can be hard. I know my husband and I, when we were updating our guardian papers, because who we had initially listed as guardians when our kids were little, they aged out.
Right. Yeah.
And so we were, you know, coming up with who should we name guardian now? And I do understand there can be this little tension between what if they say no? And this is what I tell people. You should ask. Understand that you may get a no, and that no is not a personal, it probably has nothing to do with you and your kids. It probably has more to do with what's going on in that person's life, and they don't feel the ability to be able to take on that level of responsibility. I find that when people are asked, they are mostly honored and they say yes. And I think that they understand that the possibility of it happening is not that high, but that doesn't mean you don't do it. It is a just in case. It's kind of like life insurance. Do you not buy life insurance? You buy life insurance because you don't know what's going to happen. And the same thing with guardianship. And so that can be, I think, sometimes hard. I do see couples disagree over who they want as guardians a lot. And it takes some time to kind of parse through that. And what I like to tell people is that one choice is better than no choices at all. And to really recognize that nobody is ever going to fill your void or your shoes. Nobody will ever live up to your standards as a parent. So you pick the best person that you can, that you both agree on. And if you don't agree on something, know that you can list more than one person or one couple as a guardian. You can list multiple guardians. You can separate your short-term from your long-term. And ultimately, the judge will take a look at the guardians you named with supporting. You can write letters as to why you chose these people. It may not be for financial reasons. It may be because they parent closest to your style of parenting, or they understand or know your kids. And that's all something for the judge to take into consideration. So I always talk to parents about that. You can have a judge who has nothing in front of him, or you can have a judge who has names and letters and pictures and can put a full picture together with regard to what you want.
I think that's wonderful that you have all those options to, you know, to sit down and say, okay, how are we going to do this? And what's important to us right now? So I'd love for you to talk a little bit more, because I have literally thought, like, I'm going to make a workbook that's like, when I die, this is what my kids like to eat from the grocery store. This is their schedule. This is their babysitter. Because honestly, like, I am the keeper of all that knowledge. You know, I'm the one that's managing and organizing. And, you know, and I think I went away one time for a weekend. Like, it was so stressful just like planning my getaway.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Okay, this one has a play date. This one, you know, has soccer. This one has dance. And this is the time. This is the sitters. And I'm like, what if I died in a plane crash? Like, what? Like, they, right. Their lives, not only would I be gone, but their entire lives would be disrupted because yeah. I wasn't there with my magic wand making everything happen. Is that something that it goes into like a legal document?
Believe it or not, it actually is. It actually is. And I think, you know, so many people are scared to come and speak with an attorney because it feels really impersonal and it feels intimidating. But I think that one of the reasons I love this area of practice so much is because it is about building a relationship and recognizing the individual and the couple and the family behind these legal documents and what will ultimately be important. So we do focus first on getting legal documents in place because that is what's going to protect you and keep your family safe. But a huge part of what I do, as we wrap up in terms of legal documents and getting documents signed and notarized, I actually do legacy interviews. And I love what you said. I love hearing you say that. Can you imagine if, and maybe that's something you and I work on together. We do a book together. We collaborate on a book where it's an annual, like, you know, we did these baby books for our kids. My third one is completely unfinished. But we do a book, and once a year we say, how are, you know, where are our kids now and what's going on in their lives and what's important. And maybe it's like a calendar and month to month you jot down and there's a calendar of what their schedule is. But I do a legacy interview, and I do a legacy interview for families who are doing estate planning for a couple of reasons. One, just like you said, but I love what you said because it's so specific with regards to kids. And I think that would be such a great, great way to enhance that kids protection program.
Yeah, I'd buy that.
Yeah. Then the other area is a lot of times as parents do planning for their kids as they start to age out of the house, I'll say, like for their young adult children, sometimes parents are scared to, you know, first and foremost, you know, parents are scared that, okay, this is our money, but, and this is how we want it to pass. But they know that there's going to, it's going to bring about conflict. And in recognizing that siblings fight and that there can be conflict, that causes this anxiety over, it can halt the process of putting the legal plans in place. And what I tell people is that we do a legacy interview at the end where we go through and I ask questions and we can do video interviews and we give, I give my clients the opportunity to explain what they want their family to remember the most, what was most important to them, how they felt about each person in their family, and why they made the decisions that they made. What were their fears? To let their family know that these decisions that they put down on legal paper and had signed and notarized and will be recognized by their state, that these they made these decisions for a reason.
Thank you so much for taking the time to invest in your well-being. I hope you learned at least one new idea or technique that you might want to implement into your own life. Remember, you're not alone. There is hope. And with the right information and support, you can thrive. If you're dealing with panic or looking for a step-by-step process that will allow you to break free from this crippling fear state, I want to invite you to check out my Panic Attack Survival Guide. You can grab your free copy at www.jenniferbronsnick.com. Thanks for listening.